and welcome to You Should See the Other Guy, the almost 3 years old podcast, where we are watching a movie this week on Netflix starring Reese Witherspoon and some man who we shall discuss shortly. I'm Jennifer.
I am Samantha.
And I am Sadie.
Okay. Can we each take our best guess? Don't say if you know it, what the title of this movie was.
I was literally fucking thinking, Samantha, I was like, gun to my head, I can't remember what this movie was. And I actually like watched it. Like, I mean, not to say that I don't watch all the movies that we talk about, obviously, but like I fully like, I had my phone on the other side of the room. I was like, I'm going to focus and like fully watch this movie. Okay, no idea.
Sadie, God bless
you. I'll guess first. I think it was, What Will You Do?
That's a good one. I think it's like, come home?
Wait, Sadie, before you thought of home, were you going to say mama or papa, or which and why, which fell first in the choosing order?
Like, what I was going to say, come to my place, but that feels wrong.
I feel like it was a question. I thought the title was a question.
You almost, because I just memorized the name of it right before coming to the podcast. So unfortunately, I'm not able to participate in this game. It is called...
Wait. Who's closer? Who's closer between me and Sadie?
Wait, what's your official... What are your official answers again?
What Will You Do? And Sadie's is Come Home.
Wild guess and say that it's neither.
You know,
it's equidistant.
Kind of, like the Samantha's kind of goes with the That Thing You Do vibe, which sort of goes with the Adam Schlesinger sort of feel of slightly having all these crazy ex-girlfriend people in it, which works. But Come Home also works better probably with how the whole plot shakes out and the actual title, which is Your Place or Mine.
Oh!
So it is sort of a question. Wait, is there a question mark in the official spelling?
No, I don't think there is. Oh, and
that's infuriating.
For real?
They never say the title either. They never give the like honking chicken moment. So it's just like, why did they pick this title? I don't know. I don't understand. It has nothing to do with the music of the cars either. So I don't get it.
Which, okay, I'm going to just go ahead and give the 2 minute summary of this movie.
Please.
So I'm not going to refer to anybody by their names in the movie at all. I can't remember that.
Do you remember what they were? Reese Witherspoon was Debbie. I do remember
Debbie.
That. Like little Debbie
and
cakes.
Was his name Josh?
I don't remember what the fuck his name was.
I think it was Josh.
My brain couldn't hold it. It might have been.
Well, apropos of nothing, I will be
her child's name. Debbie. Was Jack? Hey, Ashton Kutcher. Whatever.
His name was William Faulkner.
William Faulkner, The Return. Ashton Kutcher.
Okay, so this is a Netflix movie. It just came out on Valentine's Day, if I am not mistaken. And so Ashton Kutcher and Reese Witherspoon, they had a one night stand moment in like 2003. And then he kind of flaked on her. They reconnected and then they've been best friends for like 20 years. Through that, he has had multiple girlfriends. She has been married, gotten divorced, has a son who is... Oh, like 12, I think.
Who
I don't know how old the son is.
Jimmy Kimmel's nephew. Just putting it
out
there.
Are you for real?
Now. Yes, I learned that. And now we all have to know it.
Damn. Okay. And Jimmy Kimmel's nephew is Reese Witherspoon's son. And so they initially met in LA. That is where Reese Witherspoon lives now. By the tone of this movie, you would think that that is like middle of nowhere, Illinois. by the way that she acts like a complete rube the entire movie. Anyway, she is living in LA and he moved to New York. But they're still best friends. They talk to each other constantly, way more than they talk to like anyone else in their lives, including their various romantic partners that they've had. But they're really excited because she is going to go and spend a week with him while she completes this, like, can someone explain to me what she's, because it's like a degree that she's trying to complete.
I feel like she's involved in a pyramid scheme.
I'm like this weird thing that she's, because it's like this open concept lab type.
Okay, so some online universities will have like one in-person week that you're like expected to fly to. That was the vibe I was getting.
I was going to ask you both. Okay, so Samantha, I'm starting to understand now. I was like, what is the time frame of this? I was so confused at first. Like, this literally lasted a week. Like, why would she leave her child? Anyway, okay. All right. Okay. Back. Please carry on with the summary.
And also, I have to say, I mean, that child seemed pretty grown to me. Like, I feel like my parents have definitely, I've been left alone. I've been left alone. I'm just saying, it's so.
That's obvious to all.
Hey,
look, Sadie knows her own list of allergies, and she doesn't need Ashton Kutcher to manage them for her. So,
I'm like, that child is old enough to know his own fucking allergies. I'm sorry. Anyway, so the plan is she's going to leave her son with this woman who she's friends with, and then she's going to stay with Ashton Kutcher for a week. But then the woman is like, actually got an acting gig. I can't do it all of a sudden, which Reese Witherspoon was very gracious to that woman. I would have been like, fuck you. Fuck your career. I hope you die.
Sadie, that woman was also supposed to be her ex-husband's younger girlfriend. Just BT dubs.
Wait, canonically. Was that established?
That was the relationship. Yes. I was so confused because Samantha...
No, I thought that...
No.
I thought Samantha that she made was like me a watch, snowboarder.
Samantha made me watch Free Solo, and I feel like I know a little something about climbing girlfriends from that. But no, they definitely said that the ex-hubby liked hanging out. He's has so much fun hanging out with Scarlett now. And then they introduce Scarlett in the next scene, and it's Rachel Bloom, who is a theater kid. And I'm like, what relationship is this? What is even happening? But yeah, that's how they knew each other.
Really?
Some people get their thrills on the crag, and some get their thrills on the stage, you know?
You know, in Canada, as Scarlett has decided to do, instead of take care of Jimmy Kimmel's nephew.
That's fucked up because not that I didn't believe you, but I was just so shocked that that was because that just doesn't make sense for the plot. Anyway. So she flakes, and instead of Reese Witherspoon just being like, oh, I can hand him off to like my lesbian friend. She's like, I'm just going to not go. But then in an insane move, Ashton Kutcher's like, well, I'm between clients at the moment. So I already bought a ticket. I'm going to fly there to babysit your child. And then you're just going to do your thing rather than just bringing the child along for a week, which I would feel like is crazy.
I also feel like I feel crazy asking this right now because I know that clearly neither of you remember, but was there a scene where Ashton Kutcher like quit his job or something at the beginning? He is talking to Father Bra and that other guy from what is happening there?
I think he's saying he wants to take time off between jobs, and they're like asking him to stay on, and he's like, no, okay. I'm gonna do me.
Okay,
now that Vella
so
LaBelle
it's still just it's
me.
Not like a final thing, it's like a temporary.
Well, so it's like
love
he's a Vella
LaBelle,
he's a consult,
get that money, girl.
And so he's only supposed to be at a company like to improve their shit for like 6 months, and then he moves on. But that company was like, we want you to be like our CEO kind of like, please stay with us. And he's like, no, I'm a Rolling Stone kind of thing.
Got it.
Yeah. So they're like, you're so awesome. Can we lick your feet every day? Yeah. You have such good hair. We love you. And he's like, guys, I know, but this movie
like,
made Ashton Kutcher.
What's the point? But Father Bra got a paycheck, and we are all grateful for that. Amen.
So in the end, Ashton Kutcher spends a week with Reese Witherspoon's son in LA, kind of walking him through life, learning a bit about himself, kind of chilling. I don't know.
What the fuck was the hockey plot line in LA? When I didn't realize it was that ridiculous till you said LA out loud just now. Okay, I'm sorry. Sadie, please finish the summary.
That's it. I mean, I thought that too. Listen, I guess hockey is played in places that aren't like the Midwest and the North, but I don't know.
Is it?
I've never been. Like, I'm not in LA.
There's an NHL team there.
Well, there's an NHL team in Nashville too now, but that doesn't mean that it's a widely played sport in Tennessee. Yeah. Amongst
harder
like,
to refrigerate.
That's true.
In some climates.
And I will touch on him. There, the other guy in this scenario is this book publisher. God, this is an entirely wild subplot. I'm not going to get too far into it. She finds a book that Ashton Kutcher has written. It's like sealed in a manila envelope in his oven. Crazy. And she reads it and she's like, this is the greatest novel of our generation. Like, this is every Ernest Hemingway novel rolled into one. And so she like connects with this book publisher guy, like, I don't know, through just like she meets him in a bar or whatever, and he's like kind of has a weird vibe but like is really into her. His weird vibe part doesn't come up. I'm just saying that for me, like, I felt like he had a weird vibe.
Yeah. I think what's the actor's name again?
Jesse Williams.
Jesse Williams is so beautiful.
Too piercing. It's like Uncanny Valley territory.
It's Mackenzie Davis in whatever that one lesbian rom-com holiday movie was.
Let's have a Mackenzie Davis versus Jesse Williams movie. Not a romance. Like, more of an assassins trying to kill each other. And so they have lots of reason to stare at the middle distance while thinking about one another. And then the stares come together.
And they're both gay.
It's called Staring Contest. I can see the I can see the Netflix poster already.
And anyway, they have sex, her and book publisher guy, and Ashton Kutcher like kind of sees it for a second because it activates his home camera, and then he looks and he's like, ah. And then it's revealed that he's actually loved her for like 20 years, but it was just never the right time. What?
I'm sorry, I was about to interrupt again, but we'll get to that. Why the fuck didn't he tell her he had cameras rigged up all throughout the apartment she was going to be staying in, and he could have watched her walking around naked on his cameras at any time? That is so fucked up. Oh my God, man.
And I will now listen. I'm not the first in line to defend Ashton Kutcher. But I feel like he probably didn't even know that existed. Or if he did, he probably just didn't think that it would activate.
Like, she hit a button that turned them on or something.
Okay. But I was like, oh my God, how do you have your place rigged up with cameras and not tell your tenant who is staying there? That is creepy to me. Don't rig your place up with cameras, please.
So in the end, They fly, I don't know, they meet in the airport, they fight for a second, and then he confesses his love. They kiss, and then he ends up moving back to LA to be with them and living in their apartment. Also, and Steve Zahn is like, he's a millionaire guy who like just likes to take care of her garden, and he just like chills there, and he's kind of in love with her, but she's just like, he's just a comedic side character. Okay.
Yeah. And summary Minka, over. The hot ex-girlfriend of Ashton Kutcher, who really should be our true other guy, you know, coming up here in a bit.
Well, what did we think of this movie?
It was weird.
I have my thoughts.
Yeah.
I think my thoughts are, I'm glad to see literally the entire cast of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend getting money and getting bit parts. And I feel like if you just had different leads, I might like it better. And my other thought is that, like, because, like, movie stars are, like, kind of no longer a thing, we're in this weird space where, like, a lot of characters are, like, 50 going on 29, you know? Like,
yes.
Like, Ashton Kutcher and Reese Witherspoon are, like, fully middle-aged people, you know?
They're, like, 45. Yeah.
And yeah, or yeah. entering middle age, right? And it's like, and yet emotionally, the issues that they're like dealing with and talking about are like, they feel like they're written as like late 30s characters.
Mm-hmm. Samantha, you just said everything that I wanted to say about this movie already. And also, I forced Justin to watch the intro bit, like 20 minutes or so of it with me. And he asked after that, who is this for? We were very confused with the little arrows coming in to point out the signs of it being 2003 that actually were things more typical of 2000 and probably 7 styling wise. Wow. And the Ashton Kutcher character. Yeah. The leads didn't work. And I understand Reese Witherspoon is rom-com royalty and Ashton Kutcher is very famous. And I guess you would want, you know, that kind of star power in your movie. But Reese was really selling it, but I just hate Ashton Kutcher already, so I am prejudiced against his favor. Please, Sadie, slag the fuck out of Ashton Kutcher right now. Tell us why he sucks.
Can I say, I felt like the weak link in the movie was Reese.
Oh. Ooh.
I did. I felt like her character holistically made a lot less sense.
Sadie.
I don't like Ashton Kutcher very much, but I thought he was kind of doing okay in this.
Yeah.
Reese Witherspoon was playing Reese Witherspoon's star image for the last 15 years in this movie. It wasn't a character. Yes. It was just a character type. And Ashton Kutcher was in this movie. Like, honestly, he fucking sucked. I was giving Reese Witherspoon a little bit of credit I thought that she seemed like she liked kissing him more than he did her. I hate him. So I'll allow you to discuss the relative merits of Ashton Kutcher for a moment. I will hush.
I liked him in this movie overall. Like, I thought that his character made sense. I thought that he was actually, like, what I'm trying to think of, trait-wise, a pretty appealing character. Like, I like the concept of, like, he's objectively been, like, a really good friend to her for 20 years. And, like, on the face of it, I mean, is it crazy? Yes. But also, is it really nice, the idea of him, like, flying across the country just to watch your kid? Like, that's kind of sweet. I thought that was appealing. I have to battle Harriet to get off the desk. Anyway, as I was saying, I thought that for her, she acted like a complete, like, country bumpkin kind of in New York. Like, she was so wide-eyed and all this stuff. And I'm like, you have lived in LA for at least 20 years. Like, that is the second largest city population wise in the United States. Like, I don't understand this character arc. And I don't understand what she does and also how she can afford this gig. Like, his career to apartment ratio made sense, but hers, I didn't even understand what she did, let alone how she could afford this giant house. But also this idea is painted of her being very humble, being like lower middle class. And also, like, being in, like, a small town, like, he moved away from his small town to go to New York. It's like, he didn't move away from a small town. He moved away from LA. Los Angeles. Like, I don't understand. And then she's going to do this, like, degree thing that's taking a week. But also, she, like, really loves books. But also, she loves books. And so she, like, I don't even know. So she, like, goes around and, like, peddles her friend's secret book around to these publishers and, like, organizes it for him without even asking him. And it seems like it's semi-autobiographical about, like, the traumas of his youth with his dad. And then, like, she gets offered this, like, really amazing job at Macmillan. And she turns it down, and I don't even know why. And then she is kind of, like, really, really, really suffocating to her son. Like, she was just kind of a wild character, and I didn't really get the vibe. Like, I was like, yeah, this is like your crazy Aunt Debbie. Like, I was like, this is
Sadie. Like, you're right. No, that's exactly. I think that's why. And like, Samantha, jump in here and like, tell me if I'm wrong. But I think that that's sort of like how, like, God, we met Reese Witherspoon back in Cruel Intentions and Election and stuff. But then, like, this is, she was just playing her own image, like, even down to the book club shit in your intro, Sadie, where you're talking about them being book lovers. Reese Witherspoon is like showing off her own like book club picks in this, like, wow, bananas.
Her anyway, house but is not also- giving uptight either. Like, she has this like boho chic house on the hill, and then she's like an EpiPen like helicopter mom, you know.
She let Steve Zahn like do yoga without his underwear and baggy pants all day in her lawn, you know. Yeah. She's not that uptight.
Also, I recognize so EpiPens are life-saving devices. Don't cancel me.
Yes.
But yeah.
I was already thinking about Steve Zahn's moves.
There's
with
like
the rake.
Too much going on with her character. And also, like, maybe just a bit too much generally, like, too many tertiary and secondary characters. There's a reason the classic rom-com trope is like, the girl has one best friend at work and, you know, maybe some other people have speaking lines, but we don't. Like, did we need Rachel Bloom and Tig Notaro and Steve Zahn and,
okay.
You know?
When Tig Notaro came in within like the first 20 minutes of this movie, this is Tig Notaro. Everybody get Tig Notaro in your mind. And advises Reese Witherspoon that Reese needs to get waxed, like, genitally. That was extremely weird to me. Did that strike anybody else as odd?
I concur. I concur, Chief. That was weird.
I guess what like, frustrates... go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no. I guess it was just like, Tig Notaro had a really weird, the friends were weird, all in all. Like, I just, like, Tig Notaro's character, like, when it's revealed, like, oh, like, she knew them back, like, 20 years ago. I was like, oh, okay. Like it did
what?
Not seem.
She did?
Like that, yeah. It did not seem like that at all.
When I see Ashton Kutcher, I'm like, there's a man who would have been friends with a lesbian in 2003, you know?
I can't wait till we get to the section of this podcast where we talk about how much we hate Ashton Kutcher.
Jen, but I think you've got more of an axe to grind than the rest of us. I'm not particularly hype on him, but he's whatever. My thoughts on him are why are you acting? You know, like you don't need to act anymore. You're just like an investor influencer.
How much his little bitch ass complains about it.
Complains about what? Just investing?
About public attention. About any... Yeah.
He courted it by, like, trying to... Wasn't he the first person with a million Twitter followers or something? And he was, like...
Oh, yeah.
Actively vying for it. Or...
Indeed, anyway. Samantha, he was.
I think what frustrates me is I really like Aileen Brosh McKenna. Like, she's written some really good rom-coms. And I wonder, like, what happened here? Like, part of it feels like, okay, we've got Ashton Kutcher and Reese Witherspoon signed on for a rom-com, but their shooting schedules just don't line up because Reese Witherspoon is shooting The Morning Show on Apple TV.
She's too busy promoting Where the Crawdads Sing.
It's gonna be her.
Every day. To 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. She's hitting the crawdad circuit. But it felt like, okay, what if we can only have them together in one place for one day in an airport?
Damn.
Samantha, you're so right.
Because, I don't know. It's kind of Sleepless in Seattle-y in that you don't see the characters together until the end.
But you know how I feel about Sleepless in Seattle. It works there. I get where they were going. Like, I'm sure that they were trying to get that Sleepless in Seattle magic of, like, we can generate chemistry between these two characters who are, like, never in a room together. But I don't know. So many elements of their friendship made no sense to me. Like, I don't know. I really thought, I keep hating to say it, but I really feel like Reese Witherspoon's character was the weakest part to me. Like, I feel like none of it lined up. And that's just my thought. Because the thing is Ashton Kutcher's character was a very stereotypical rom-com hero for a friends to lovers type thing, right? Of like this guy who's super successful and never has any lasting relationships, but it's actually because he's secretly been in love with his best friend slash like, you know, high school ex now friend for, you know, 10 years. And he's just like never said anything because he feels like he's not good enough for her or X, Y, and Z, et cetera, ad nauseum. Like that's very stereotypical. Ashton Kutcher really fit that vibe well, I thought. But like Reese's character was really out of left field. Like she really just felt like she was playing herself, but like really? Keyed up to 11.
She definitely felt like she was playing her star image keyed up to 11. But also to me, I feel like that was in line that I felt like this whole movie, I would rather be watching a movie about any of the side characters in the movie rather than the people it focused on, like always. And yeah, and like we're all complaining about, like we just Reese and Ashton, we couldn't take the leads. And I'm like, because of my personal hatred of Ashton Kutcher and because of my generational tendency to forgive Reese, I'm seeing Sadie put more of the like the ick on Reese's character, and I'm putting more of the ick on his character.
Well, Sadie. I would like to say I do love.
How will I explain this?
I do love. I loved Reese Witherspoon. I feel like I have soured on her a little bit just because of her recent, like, Southern, particularly. Like, obviously, I know she's Southern, but like, I'm saying her. I don't know her. Where the Crawdad Sings. Her like Reese's book
Where
club
the Crawdad Sing is supporting gross.
Some weird stuff. I'm just kind
of
like, okay.
That is the official stance of this podcast. Is Where the Crawdad Sing is gross.
But I mean, Ashton Kutcher, I don't know. Like I used to really not like him, but I feel like I've turned a new leaf a little bit. I feel like some of his interviews, I'm What?
Oh, he's just been fucking quiet and married to Mila Kunis for a while. He's not different. He's just the same fucker. Just
tell me what you don't like.
Ew.
Give me I'm capping you at like 2 minutes.
How do I tell?
I'm timing you.
Samantha knows that I have a tendency to run long-winded. How do you explain this to somebody who wasn't pubescent in the era of Punk'd?
Perhaps I'll read you some selections from the Ashton Kutcher Wikipedia page. In 2009,
please.
Kutcher described himself as a fiscal conservative and a social liberal. He is a gun owner. However, he supports new gun laws to stop mass shooting. He trains in the martial art Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. He grew up as Roman Catholic. As an adult, he practices Kabbalah and has visited Israel and studied the Torah. He is the 500th paying customer to sign up to ride Virgin Galactic Spaceship 2. He ran and completed the New York City Marathon.
None of this talks about Punk'd at all. None of this talks about his marriage to Demi Moore and how he dogged around on her and how it was completely fucked and how she, like, you know, went to rehab and they split and like
Moore.
Everything was apart.
I forgot
for
about
so
that.
Long. And then recently, after she released her autobiography, does he deign to start coming out and complaining? And like, yeah, of course it sucks for your kids to find out how you were a fucking shitbag in the past. But if you're over it, like, maybe stop bringing up how much of a shit she is for, like, you know, writing about it in her own autobiography in interviews. And oh my God, for this very movie, I haven't had had to see anything about his ass in so long. And then there's celebrity reporting about how much Ashton Kutcher and Reese Witherspoon suck on the red carpet for this movie. And hilariously, they made this appearance together and they look like they fucking hate each other, which they're like friends in real life. So obviously they don't like loathe each other, but it was very like siblings in a fight energy. And like everybody was like making fun of him on Twitter. And then can Ashton Kutcher leave that alone or turn it into a joke or do anything about it? No. He has to start talking about how if he dared to put his arm around Reese, the tabloid media would report that he was having an affair with her. And like, fuck you, man. Didn't you see Oscar Isaac sell scenes from A Marriage last year? No, obviously you did not, because you're a fucking idiot who doesn't know how to do your job and complains when you get any criticism about it.
Jen,
fuck you.
Do you have the same kind of loathing for Penn Badgley not wanting to do intimate scenes in You season 4 for the same reason?
I do not. I do a little bit. I do think that, like, you know, Penn Badgley, I mean, come on, man. You know, like, I don't, at least don't make this a centerpiece of your interviews, even if it's personally important to you. I don't know. But I don't have the same 20 years built up. You know, this movie made a big fucking thing about 20 years. I remember 2003 very well. That was the year I graduated from high school, and Ashton Kutcher was like ruling like a gross little trucker hatted like demon of malevolence over the culture at the time. So
Jen's 9/11 is punked. Jen remembers where she was when punked first aired on MTV.
You know, making Justin Timberlake cry is okay. That is a public good. That can be forgiven at any time. But no, like Punk'd was Ashton Kutcher's presence on it was more like humor is doing mean things to people and tricking them into feeling bad, not like making a joke. And that's Ashton Kutcher's whole shit. And he can dish it out, but he cannot fucking take it. And that is Ashton Kutcher's problem. May he depart from my consciousness.
Whoa. Well, I thought he was kind of hot in this.
That's his problem, Sadie. That's how he gets away with it all, because he's hot. Ugh.
Well, like, you know, I'm going to say something I think is interesting is him and Pedro Pascal are like roughly the exact same age. And I feel like Pedro Pascal has such a level of like ruggedness to him. And like Ashton Kutcher looks the same as he did 20 years ago, which I find a little unsettling.
He's kind of pretty. He used to be a model, I guess. And I don't know if that was Pedro Pascal's trajectory.
True. I mean, Pedro Pascal was in Buffy, so that was his trajectory. he was only in a few episodes, but I don't know. First of all, I have to say what Samantha was reading from his wiki page, Mama, that is every celebrity in Ashton Kutcher's tier.
Yeah.
I whether or not they put it on the wiki or not, it's true.
All doing Kabbalah.
Yeah.
I don't know what Kabbalah is. Do either of you know what Kabbalah is? I just know that celebrities get into it.
It's a type of Judaism. No, it's like specifically, and I think that I've never looked into why, but I guarantee that the celebrity version is like wildly offensive because, yeah, I think that it's like a particular type of like Judaic practice. But then Madonna got very into it in a specific time in this like 2003 range when this movie was supposed to have started.
I know,
and
there's a 30
started wearing
Rock
the red string around
too.
Her wrist.
About like Jenna Maroney getting into Kabbalah or something like that.
It all sort of makes me wonder how much we all know about anything and how much is like the McDonald's hot coffee lawsuit.
The McDonald's hot coffee lawsuit. We can't get into it, Jen. We can't get into it. We have to stay focused, brothers.
I'm just saying. Come over to my place, won't you?
come home.
So
make your place my place.
Put that kid out. for hockey in LA and gave him a hematoma, which I think is just a blood blister. That might be really wrong. I think that, I don't know. Hang on. I've got to Google this.
It's got to be some internal blood thing.
Yeah. Like, Ashton Kutcher is so annoying outside of the screen, but Reese's character was so annoying inside my screen during this movie.
Ashton was too. What the fuck are you? Minka.
I didn't like that they made Ashton Kutcher's character just like, money is no object for me at all. I can rent a Bugatti and get you box seats at the Kings game and that kind of thing. I don't know. During these troubled economic times, it's a little harder to stomach characters who are like, even Reese Witherspoon is like, oh, I'm going to have to like remodel something. I'm really going to have to stretch. It'll be $1,000 a month, right? Or something. And it's like, oh, your place looks like you have a net worth of like $3 million. You have like a beautiful home in Los Angeles. Like,
it's like on a lush mountainside. Like, she lives next to like a millionaire.
Yeah.
Canonically.
Also, speaking of other guys, Steve's on. He's right there. He's a millionaire.
He's right there.
He likes to garden.
He ain't bad.
He thinks you're really hot. Go for it.
What more do I need to say? I know that was not where the vibe was going, but Steve Zahn with Ashton Kutcher, Minka with Reese Witherspoon. That's my vibe.
Wait,
make it
you
like
wanna...
the holiday situation.
Yes. Because that's what Ashton Kutcher's character needed was Steve Zahn's gardening's
to get
like literal
down
his name
by
was
Steve
in.
Zahn, yeah.
Under a bunch of sunflowers.
Yes. Reese Witherspoon was waiting to meet Minka. And that meet cute where she arrived in the sexy thing with nothing underneath, like they were there. It was there. Like, media just needs to be cranked up. Like, if we could take things right now and turn them up to like 15 years from now, like queerer in media, we'd be at perfect level.
I don't buy that Reese Witherspoon has a sapphic bone in her body. TBQH.
She's kind of like Katherine Heigl that way.
Yeah. When she was next to Tig Notaro, I'm kind of like, I don't know that you'd be friends. Like, I'm not saying you have to be like, that you have to be somewhere on the queer spectrum to be friends with someone like Tig Notaro. I don't know. The social world is complicated.
Would you be?
And I feel like a lot of the ostensibly straight women who befriend lesbians later come out as queer themselves.
That is really true, actually. But okay. But let's think different casting, and we're not beholden to Ashton Kutcher here either. But another lead who is not Reese Witherspoon, but is Reese Witherspoon's character, meets Minka in that fashion. Is that not like the most appealing start to like its own cute queer rom-com like ever?
If ever there was a place where I want to tap Judy Greer in for a star, for an A-lister, it's maybe here. Get Reese out of there. Get Judy Greer in here.
God, you're so right. When you're right, you're right. Samantha.
And then as far as Kutcher goes, I don't know who to replace him with.
I don't either. I can't even think of it. Sadie, you're going to love this. Just stick Chris Pine in there. Just
I'm going to go home with Pedro Pascal. I'm going to do it. I'm going to pull him.
Yeah.
I know he's busy right now.
And Steve Zahn at the end would be so hot too.
Pedro Pascal and Steve Zahn. There's an alternate Last of Us episode 3 casting.
Love that. By the way, I've watched 2/3 of it now. God, The Last of Us episode 3, that is. I have been holding off on it because I didn't want to have any like emotional feelings whatsoever. So,
oh God.
I waited until I made myself feel like I had to watch it. And now I've started watching it. I made Justin start watching it with me. And that way the emotion is like shared.
Did you know the zombies are mushrooms? Sadie, how do you feel about mushrooms being in the zeitgeist right now?
Oh, okay. Well, let me tell you, you know what is, so I was not super familiar with The Last of Us prior to this show coming out. And I actually have been saying for years that a zombie apocalypse could potentially happen if cordyceps evolved to infect humans, because cordyceps exist and they infect ants and various other things like caterpillars, and they get into their brain and they make them go crazy. And I was like, we are so close. I mean, we're not close. We're not, to be clear, we are not anywhere near that happening, actually. But I was like, realistically, if the zombie apocalypse happened, it would be because of cordyceps. And it is actually my number one fear. I do not watch zombie movies because of it. I do actually have a very real crippling fear of the zombie apocalypse due to cordyceps. So you can imagine my shock and horror tuning into The Last of Us because Hannah wanted to watch it. And I'm spoiler alert for the first 5 minutes of The Last of Us. It has this man from like the 1960s being interviewed, and they're like talking about cordyceps, and I'm sitting there and I'm like watching this happen with horror, and the man is like describing how it would happen, and I'm like, Hannah, is this mushrooms? Is this cordyceps? Is this cordyceps virus? Is this? And she was like, yeah, that's what the zombies are. And I was like, I cannot take it. I have been tuning in, but at every moment I'm like, yes, 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 this is exactly how it would happen. Yes, of course. Yes, yes, the mushrooms. And I actually, you know, I'm very active on mushroom TikTok, as you all know. And I recently,
Sadie, I love you.
I love you too, Jinthy.
And are you a creator or a consumer?
I don't know how to make TikToks. I don't know. I don't actually know how to like actually physically record. I don't know how to press the button. And I'm not kidding.
Sadie is the reach of the fungus below the earth, like, you know, on the TikTok universe.
They're horrifying. The zombies they're horrifying. But I actually watched everyone who is scared of fungi and cordyceps in particular, tune out for the next 5 minutes it's not going to take 5 minutes. Tune out for a minute. This person was talking about cordyceps, and they were looking at one that infects caterpillar populations, and they dug it up out of the ground, because cordyceps will just like kind of, it just looks like a little stalk coming out of the ground that's maybe like half a foot to a foot tall, and around like a dime size thickness. But they pulled it up, and the base part of it was like caterpillar shaped, because it was formed inside the caterpillar's body, and the caterpillar, like the cordyceps, infected its brain and made it bury itself in order to grow the cordyceps. Anyway, crazy stuff. Hannah did some research on my behalf, because I was actively like having a panic attack watching the first episode. And if that were to ever exist, it would take over a millennia. And also, humans are just way too complex for a cordyceps to ever infect us. And actually, people take cordyceps orally. Like, people eat cordyceps all the time. So it's perfectly fine. But horrifying, horrifying stuff all around.
But for now, ants, anyway,
you know, they're living ants in The Last of Us right now.
Indeed. Sadie, I convinced Justin to watch this because independently last week, he started telling me something about cordyceps being found in higher level animals, but influencing them in different ways. Besides, obviously, they're still trying to figure out. They're not pulling the same business as ants, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah. And I was like, oh, wow. Well, remember what we were up to in 2013? Well, did you know there's a show now? And I want to watch a single episode of it. And so I've been building up to it that way.
And it's very good.
That's all I want to watch.
The last thing, now this is actually kind of a spoiler for episode 3 that I'm sure that you guys have seen already, but 3 beautiful love story held within its pages, or episode walls, I should say.
Frames, perhaps.
No. But actually very stunning, and it did make me tear up. not the saddest episode. Every episode, I'm like, well, it can't get worse from here. And then it does every single episode. I actually think that I've hit my, this is just me talking about The Last of Us. Fellas, I actually think I've hit my breaking point. The last episode made me cry so hard. I still haven't recovered. So there's a chance, and it took place in Kansas City. And you know what? It is accurate that Kansas City would actually be like the worst place to live with all sorts of radioactive mushroom zombies and like killer governments.
Yeah.
It serves, you know, it's true.
Imagine being in that Buca di Beppo during the mushroom outbreak. You wouldn't be able to find your way out. It'd be a labyrinth full of clickers.
Oh my God.
And you know, it all happened. It all, the cordyceps virus broke out because of like infected flour. So, you know, all that bread, even though we actually didn't get any bread when we were at Buca di Beppo.
Oh,
so
maybe that's right.
We'd be the only ones that were fine. But we're looking around and we're in the farthest depth room and we're looking around. Everyone's like crunking their necks and, you know, like undergoing the transformation as before our horrified eyes. Us without any bread, we're undisturbed. But and you know what's what's also very funny is some people think that this was a joke on his part. I don't think it was. The reason why Pedro Pascal's character wasn't infected in The Last of Us is because he was on the Atkins diet, and he says it in the episode.
That's hilarious.
And that's why and Hannah was like, no, I think he was making having
oh my
fun.
God.
And then like in 2003, everyone was on the fucking Atkins diet. And Pedro Pascal.
No.
And it saved him.
He's definitely, you're right. You're right, Sadie. It's very literal because that's all I've watched at the beginning of episode 3. I'm about halfway through ep 3 now. Where he's explaining to Ellie, who he's taking across the country, about it breaking out. It's got to be in some car, in like in a bread or wheat product, you know?
Oh, it was.
The fucking Atkins diet. That's the reason he was, I mean, I don't think you can really use the word spared here. I mean, I guess from like, you know, the
honestly,
fungus, but like, this is pretty bad.
from my relatively I don't know the right word for it. I'm not a survivor, right? You know what I mean? I'm a luxuriator.
Sadie, well, it's so comfy.
Yeah. If I have to like survive. So from my point of view, his daughter really got the best end of it. She was like the first, she like died within like 2 hours of the outbreak. In my mind, and she didn't die from the zombie. She just got shot. And it's like, listen, that's how I want to go. And I'll say that as many times as I need to, because if a zombie outbreak happens, I'm taking Harriet out and taking myself out. And that's just how it's going to go. anyway, Ashton Kutcher.
Okay.
Reese Witherspoon.
Look, this is a thing that I found very odd and repulsive just because it was Ashton Kutcher. And I'm fully aware of that because I love the Cars. My mom and I used to bop to the Cars all the time. Like, honestly, I could claim to have like he gave also some other, his dad was shitty and then was gone and then whatever. And then was really gone. Anyway, the Cars rule, but I hated that was like his musical signature in here and that they like, and then I was like,
trying to put my finger on it.
Besides Ashton Kutcher, like, I think there could be exceptions where if you met somebody who only listened to one musical artist, you might not find it repulsive, but this was weird. Like, what? Eileen Brosh McKenna, what were you doing here? Samantha, please speak on this. Samantha, would you write a movie and put every song, different songs of the Magnetic Fields? Actually, I want to see that movie now. That sounds awesome.
I would love a Magnetic Fields jukebox musical.
Damn.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
What was happening here? This was not good. Talk about the Magnetic Fields jukebox musical instead.
It'd be called The Book of Love, and it would be about a cantankerous gay man. It would just be Stephen Merritt. I don't know. Yeah, a little too many elements in this movie, but that's kind of endemic of the streaming era, where everything just kind of feels like four episodes of a TV show smushed together.
Did they get a deal on the Cars?
It's okay.
My Apple Watch has, for some reason, Siri activated, and my watch face transcribed what I said. So now my watch is displaying a screen of my annoyance with Netflix movie formatting.
Well, Netflix should take note. Did you hear that, Netflix? You should be sorry.
Yeah. Go to the movies again. Yeah, I think that's my takeaway from this. And also, AMC is not sponsoring this, but I signed up for the A-list thing. I think I've told you guys this when we hung out in person, but it's like $20 a month. I have abused the shit out of that program. Like, I've seen like 30 movies in 3 months for $60. Which, like,
okay,
is wild.
Wait. Samantha, take 60 seconds and please tell us some of the movies you've seen right now.
I've seen Avatar, I think, like nine or 10.
God.
I mean, it's fucking free, and it's on IMAX, and it's in three dimensions.
That's like 27 hours just spent on Avatar 2.
I've not seen Avatar once. Like, damn.
I mean, it's really good. Okay, Abby Montiel, friend of the pod, and I are both Pandora pilled. Me more so than her, probably. But I've seen Megan 4 times. I've saw Bros. I've seen Tar 2 times. Halloween Ends, a bunch of things. Infinity Pool, The Menu, Missing. Part of what it does is it lowers the threshold for, yeah, sure, I'd go see that, because like, it's free. You've already spent $20, which is like these days the cost of 1.5 movie tickets.
Of one ticket.
So okay, I am like going to town on this like thing. And part of what I've learned from that is watching movies on Netflix is bad. It's a soul-sucking experience.
Honestly, it is. You know, I wished that I could watch Physical 100 that is available streaming on Netflix. That is what I wish that I could watch in theaters.
I think it's just like... I think we have to kind of recognize that, like, the Netflix movie experience is, like, it's a different thing. Like, it's not, it's a movie, but it's not, you know? Like, I sort of, like, the things that we like to fold clothes to or sort of half pay attention to. And at some point, Netflix realized that and stopped making content that where they were like, we're going to compete with, like, the theater or with, like, cable TV, and we're just going to design it. Like, that's how you get, like, Emily in Paris, where it's, like, designed for the 30 seconds that you're, like, looking up from your phone.
I think that you're right that Emily in Paris is fully designed for it. And I think that this movie that we are ostensibly discussing today is some very inglorious hybrid where this is mostly cast of previous TV stars that we love and would actually be delighted to look up and see while we're folding laundry. And then like former box office stars that we're like, what the fuck are you here for? And that's the problem with this movie.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird hybrid of like Aileen Brosh McKenna has that like big budget movie rom-com like DNA and history. So I sort of like wonder about the position that she and other people in her situation are, where they're like, they probably would rather be making 27 dresses again. But you to keep working, you have to like cater to the streamer.
Oh no, I feel But and of course the way that the streamer or whatever, whoever gives the money is going to give the money on like, here are the two hugest stars of 2003. Now we're going to do a movie about them in 2023. And then you have to film like a little intro and closure that go, wow, and try to fit your whole shit. all around this like thing to fit these stars into it. Oh, and one of them might be Ashton Kutcher. Wow. Okay, Samantha, you have to promise if I ever go into a career in entertainment and want to sell shit and might have to talk to Ashton Kutcher ever, just delete this episode, okay? And
then we'll yes.
But career in the meantime, entrance. On record is my hatred, my absolute despisement of Ashton Kutcher. Like, really.
So if anybody wants more reasons...
Email me.
And that you don't stand by your convictions or hold your beliefs firm.
Sadie, would I work with Ashton Kutcher?
I want you to get
Kutcher?
A face tattoo that says, I never. Hate Ashton Kutcher, and then move to LA never. And try to sell something to Netflix.
Well, I would never get a face tattoo. That's
soft.
And on that note,
let's rate this
should
movie.
Should we rate?
I will give it 2.5 out of 5 Los Angeles hillsides. It was fun to see some people. Ultimately, this feels like a monkey's paw bargain to like get the budget to make a movie, but doing it Netflix style.
I will go next. I will also give it 2.5. I'll give it 2.5 empty coffee cups that Tig Notaro drinks obsessively out of 5. Did you count how many coffee cups were in this movie? There were a lot. Like, coffee was like kind of a tertiary protagonist. Anyway. I thought that this movie was fun. It overall, I don't know. It was one of those things where it's like while I was watching it, I was kind of enjoying myself. I was bothered by a lot of aspects of it, but I was still like, you know, I mean, it's a rom-com and then, you know, whatever. But then it was like, as I thought about it more, I was like, like in the immediate aftermath, I would put this on again while folding laundry. And then after like sitting with it for 30 minutes, I was like, no, I wouldn't. I mean, it wasn't offensive by any means. It had some good parts. I thought that some of the, I loved Steve Zahn. I loved Tig Notaro. But overall certainly didn't wow me. I thought that it could have been something. You know, what can you do? It's no Love and Basketball. If we're talking lifelong friends to lovers, that's what I'll say.
Yeah. Oh God. Again, like this, I'm sorry. This friends to lovers was not believable in this movie. No. Mm-mm. Okay. Yeah. I'm, this is a 2 of 5 for me. And like, I'm being generous here because I am taking my own biases into account. And like, you know, there were a lot of likable things about this movie. It's just that every single time like another actor appeared in this movie, I wished that the movie was about their character instead of the two leads that it focused on. And that was a bit unfortunate, even though I guess they are huge A-list names and, you know, would drive a lot more interest in this movie because we couldn't even remember the name of it before. And still, I, you know what? I'm about to ask both of you again once we finish this. So yeah, 2 of 5 for me. Likeable moments. The cars are great, but Ashton Kutcher sucks extremely. And Reese Witherspoon is just like furthering Reese Witherspoon's brand here. And then Jimmy Kimmel's nephew is involved. And you know what? And the cast of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, like Samantha said, the entire cast pretty much other than, including Rachel Bloom. All drew a paycheck. So let's all at least click on it for that. Amen.
Amen. Jen, what what major American city should people relocate us to? Also, you know, my other thought with this movie was finally some media about New York and Los Angeles, you know, like finally some representation
finally
for people.
Media about LA that looks like absolutely not LA in any way.
That was bananas. Sadie, you're so right. It was just like, I kept thinking she was like from middle of nowhere and then it would be reminded that it was LA and it was like, what is happening? I don't fucking know. Anyways, okay, back to Samantha's question about where every supporter of this podcast should all be suddenly relocated to with no warning all at once, including ourselves. And then we're like, what the fuck is happening? And we're all upset about it. Jefferson City, Missouri. And you know why? Because Sadie took Samantha and me there and we learned that city is built from more people than it houses currently. And so it looks so empty. So when we do our meetup of all of us that we get suddenly teleported to with no warning, it's going to be in Jefferson City. And we're going to be like, what the fuck is going on? And then we'll find each other and we'll be like, oh, yes, you hate Ashton Kutcher too. I understand. And we'll all like come together and be happy. What else am I supposed to say, Samantha? Okay. You can find us on Twitter at YSSTOG and on patreon.com/YSSTOG.
Ahem. Ahem.
$3 a month.
Is it time? Is it time, my lovely, wonderful Patreons, my little babies? I would like to thank our wonderful supporters, Logan, Andrew, Sharon, Justin, Evan, Ace, Mara, Rami the Void Heartleaf, Abe with Teeth, Ryan, Maddie, Brian, and Brianna. Thank you all so very much for supporting us. We would fly across the country in order to babysit your children, but you wouldn't be so stupid as to not figure out a solution for yourselves. That was mean.
It was, but honestly, like, we would do better than Ashton Kutcher in this situation. Are you fucking kidding? Like,
retweet.
Sir, like, what in the world?